The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 1, text number 23, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 13th, 2007, in Brisbane, Australia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 1, text number 23.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudeva grihe sakshad
Bhagavan
purushapvara
Janishyate tat priyartam
Sambhavantu sarastriya.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Chaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mam eti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nutya Lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the Lord is first transferred to that particular, the devotee, is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets, where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in a house of a Suchi or Sriman, a pious Brahmana or a wealthy Vaishya. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is stated, Sambhavantu Sudastriyaha. Sudastri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Sudastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, these Surastri were to appear in different ways, in different families, to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarkapuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among these Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha.
There's an interesting sentence in this. Of course, it's all interesting, but something that really stood out to me was this sentence by Prabhupada. He says, thus a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. Now, normally, our idea of a pure devotee, someone is qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead directly. Normally, that's how we say. Oh, he's a pure devotee. Therefore, he went back to home, back to Godhead. If he had some tinge of material desire, then he would be expected that, well, if he's very advanced, he might make it to the heavenly planet. But here, Prabhupada is saying a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, that means he was almost completely pure, but not quite. But he's still called a pure devotee. Interesting. In that context, actually, every devotee is a pure devotee. Different degrees of purity. 1% pure, 2% pure, like that. As long as we're on the neophyte platform, that means we're, to a certain extent, we're a pure devotee, to a certain extent, we're not. The idea of the sadhana bhakti practice, the process, practicing the process, is to increase the side that's pure and decrease the side that's impure, step by step, day by day, chop away at the impurities, the anartas. That's why we ask our students to take the vow at the time of initiation. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Because you're trying to light a fire, you see. Just like last night, we were lighting a fire for the initiation. If someone came to pour water on the fire, we would not like, oh, no, do not pour any water. We're trying to light a fire here. So these principles of illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, these are water which will extinguish the fire of bhakti. So on this pathway, we have to be very careful that we are not committing any aparads, any sinful activities. Be very, very careful. Because the material nature is there, always trying to allure us. Come on, come on, enjoy. Enjoy your tongue, come on. Enjoy your genitals, come on. That is the nature. Material nature is there, trying to allure us. Some people say, well, it's not really possible to, you know, give up these sinful activities because it's too much ingrained in us. But is that really true? That's the question. Is it really true? It depends how deeply we're willing to go into the process of bhakti. That's the reality. Can you get water in the desert? No, you can't get water in the desert. But yes, you can get water in the desert if you drill deeply beneath the surface of the desert. You go deep, deep, deep. As we were flying in the other day from Malaysia, we looked out on the, what you call the outback, I think. It's just a huge, desolate wasteland. There was no sign of water anywhere. But yet, if one could go deep enough, drilling down, 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 down into the earth, deep enough, you would get water. See? So actually, that taste of bhakti, which drives away all of their tastes by its superior quality, that's there for everyone. Everyone has that within them. It's just a matter of how deep you have to go to get it. How far down you have to drill to hit the water. According to our karma, according to our past pious and impious activities, for each one of us has a different level, how far down we have to go to get to the nectar. But if you're determined, if we're determined, like that little sparrow, that we're going to do whatever it takes to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, we're willing to go through whatever we have to go through, to endure whatever we have to endure, we're willing to go through it all, no matter how tough it may be, then the result's guaranteed. We will achieve that state, where we're tasting so much nectar from Krishna consciousness that Maya cannot allure us with even the most dazzling charms. So each one of us, if we want to be successful on our pathway, we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get to that point. Therefore, we have our regulated activities, rising early, taking bath, applying tilak, you see, attending Mangal Arti at the temple or having one at home, worshipping Tulsi Devi in the temple or keeping a Tulsi Devi in the home. The items of bhakti is given by Rupa Goswami. Are a wonderful process, because by engaging in them, one's consciousness becomes purified more and more and more and more, to where one can finally taste Krishna consciousness. Once we get that actually get that taste for Krishna consciousness, there'll be no question of going away from Krishna consciousness. So why do devotees go away? So many devotees have gone away. I've been around ISKCON since 71 as an active member, inactively ever since 68. So many devotees have come and gone. You see, why did they leave? Why are they no longer participating in this process? Because I never really got the taste. That's why. So, if we like to ensure our longevity on this pathway, if we would like to ensure that we will make it back down and back to Godhead, then we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the taste. Ruchi. Get that taste for Krishna consciousness. If I have no taste, what will I do? That the Bhagavatam tells us what to do, actually. It's not difficult to get the taste. If we follow the prescribed system, shu 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 sh Vasudeva Kataruchi Sanmahat Sevya Vipa Punya Tirtana Sevananta. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains a taste for this Krishna consciousness. So actually, it's not difficult to get that taste if you're willing to be a humble servant of the Vaishnavas. Then the taste will be there. It's really not that difficult. It mentions devotees who are free from vice. So we have to find out, where are those devotees who are free from vice, who are really pure in their practice of Krishna consciousness, who don't have any agenda except to be completely surrendered to Guru and Krishna. You see, we have to seek out such devotees. And those devotees, we must personally serve them. If we do that, the taste comes. It's so nice. The taste will come so easily, it will come to us. So it's an open secret how to get the taste. Vaishnava Seva. There are different categories of Vaishnava. There are Kanishta Adhikari, Majjam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The Kanishta Adhikari, he has no conception of serving the Vaishnava. For him, the temple is a place where you come and you pray for material benefit. I remember years ago when I was preaching in our Houston, Texas temple. Every Monday morning, one Sindhi businessman would come. He would come after the class when the temple room was empty. He had it timed. He didn't have to deal with any devotees. He just wanted to go. He just wanted to come before the deities only. He didn't want to deal with the devotees. He just came on every Monday morning to beg blessings for material profit. You see, every Monday morning, he had a jewelry store in a very leading edge, you know, really cutting edge shopping mall, you know, where the rich people shop, real high, you know, high roller type jewelry store. And he was very dedicated. Every Monday, without like clockwork, without fail, he would be there praying, taking his darshan and praying for you know what. That's called Kanishta Adhikari. And then there is Majjama Adhikari. He knows the Vaishnavas, there's no one more dear to Krishna than the Vaishnavas. So let me become dear to Krishna by becoming dear to the Vaishnavas. It's not a very difficult thing, actually. One simply has to understand the nature of love. It's not difficult. What makes you love someone? We love people who love us. That's our natural tendency. If somebody hates us, it's difficult to love that person. We might be able to do it if we're very advanced in Krishna consciousness. But the normal psychology is, if someone loves me, then and if I have any sensitivity at all, then I'll naturally love him because he loves me. So, if we can open our heart to love the Vaishnavas, then naturally the Vaishnavas will love us. And those persons who are very dear to the Vaishnavas, they are the most dear to Krishna. And when we become most dear to Krishna, then we taste a sweetness which is very, very sublime. Very, very sublime sweetness. So this ISKCON is a wonderful facility. It's the most wonderful facility to enter into Vaishnava Sangha, to develop relationships, loving relationships with devotees, and become thus recognized by Krishna. This makes spiritual advancement very easy. You know the old example. One stick, you can easily break it. If you take a huge bundle of sticks, can you break it? Have you tried that? You can't break a whole bundle of sticks, can you? No, you cannot do. Even if you're a powerful muscle man, you cannot break a big bundle of sticks. You see? So, we should always try to be packed up tightly in the Vaishnava Association. But what if I live in a distant place? How will I do it then? Well, in your heart, you have to always be hankering. When will I be back with the Vaishnavas? There was one godbrother. Maybe you knew him, I don't know. Shivananda Sen, the one who went to Germany. The young boy, he went to Germany all alone, West Berlin, no money, living in condemned buildings somewhere. Talk about austerity. All by himself in Germany, with no money, living in some abandoned building somewhere, trying to start Krishna consciousness in Europe. But he hung in there for Prabhupada and had some success. But Prabhupada wrote him a wonderful letter one time. He said, if you simply remember my humble teachings, then you will have my association and the association of your godbrothers also. So even if I'm in a distant place, some remote outpost in Lord Chaitanya's war against the illusory energy, I'm a remote outpost somewhere. I somehow posted in a remote outpost. Prabhupada is explaining that just by remembering these books, the instruction in these books, and also whatever you hear on lecture, you know. But especially Prabhupada's books are the most potent manifestation. By reading Prabhupada's books, remembering these instructions, you'll never feel lonely. You'll always feel that you're packed up tightly in the association of the Vaishnavas. So we have ample facility to recover from our disease of material consciousness. We have such good facility. If you're sick, but you have good facility for recovering, a good climate, good diet, good association, good medicine, then being sick isn't so bad, really. You see? So right now, we are sick. What is a sickness? I'm a man. I'm a woman. We're thinking, you see. I am male. I am female, you see. That's a disease. Actually, we have nothing to do with this skin. It's not us. It is due to this false misidentification. Or you can say false identification. Or misidentification. It is due to this false identification with this skin that we are suffering like anything. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But now, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have gotten the most wonderful facility for recovering. So even though we're still sick, it's nice. We have a very good facility for recovering. We can be happy. It's like a sick person. As he starts to feel his recovery kicking in, every day feeling a little better, a little next day a little more, you know, even more better, next day even better, then it's enlivening, even though he's still sick. Because he can feel, oh, I'm recovering now. Very good. So even though we are still sick, I'm still thinking I'm a male, and you're still thinking you're a male or a female. You see? Still, we are getting little tastes, slowly, slowly, increasing taste for the name, increasing taste for hearing about Krishna, increasing taste for serving Vaishnavas, increasing taste for all the wonderful, wonderful aspects of the Bhakti Yoga system. And that gives us great enthusiasm and encouragement. This process works. There was never a case when this process didn't work. Don't believe anybody's false propaganda that this process doesn't work. There was never a case where the Krishna consciousness process didn't work. If you work the process works. If you don't work the process, then obviously it's not going to work because you're not working the process. So we give a 100% guarantee. In fact, I give a cash guarantee, money back. $10,000 cash. U.S. I've been giving this guarantee, and no one's ever come for the money. If you will seriously follow this process exactly as prescribed for 6 months, and you don't taste incredible nectar, sweeter than anything you've ever experienced in your whole life, then I will give you $10,000 cash guaranteed. I've never had anybody come forward for the money yet. This process is effective. This process is truly revolutionary. And the only reason the whole world is not chanting Hare Krishna today is hasn't sunk in yet. They haven't gotten the message yet. That's all. They don't understand. That's all. It's not that this medicine is ineffective or impotent or not practical or not doable or no. This is the key that will unlock the door. It'll solve all the problems of the whole world. You just gotta get the key in the door, in the keyhole, that's all. So we have a very great opportunity here to make this process work to the extent that we can make it work with ourselves to that extent and not more than that. Can we make it effective for others? So if we have a desire to see that the whole world can be benefited from Krishna consciousness, and we should become very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness ourselves. Become very, very, very fixed. Sometimes it is described as with the microcosm, so with the macrocosm. What you can do on a small scale, you see, within your own heart, that becomes manifested universally. Or as Gandhi said, become the change that you want to make in the world. Whatever change you want to make in the world, make that change in yourself. So we have a very, very, very wonderful opportunity here to do something truly revolutionary in the history of the world within our own hearts and to the extent that we've done it there throughout the whole human society. So let us capitalize on this moment. this greatest moment in history, actually. Let us capitalize on it to the fullest extent. And then see what kind of wonderful results will come from doing that. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
So you talked about getting the taste for Krishna consciousness, and it's an open secret. So what about in the long term?
Vishnupriya, are you hearing this question? Because maybe you can repeat it for me. My ears are plugged up with mucus right now.
Okay. So in the long term?
Long term.
Yeah, how to keep the taste.
How do you keep Krishna consciousness in the long run?
Taste.
Yeah, it's easy in the beginning to be fired up about it. It's something new. It's exciting. It's different. That means in the beginning, oftentimes our enlivenment in Krishna consciousness is it's a mixture with Rajaguna. Something new, different, exotic. And when it becomes old hat after a while, and we haven't really captured the transcendental essence of it, then we can lose our taste. So the key is you have to get beyond the joy of something new, something different, and something exotic, which is rajasic taste. You have to get to the essence of it as quickly as possible. Everybody, when they come to Krishna consciousness, understand a lot of the nectar I'm experiencing just because it's something culturally different, exotic. But we really have to come to that, the essence of Krishna consciousness, and connect on that level, on the transcendental platform, as quickly as we can. So how does one do that? That's the most important question. If one does that, then their longevity is guaranteed. You see, they can ride out the storm. I know in my Krishna consciousness, I had a special blessing because Prabhupada in the very beginning gave me a personal instruction which I just grabbed onto for dear life and I never let go. And for me, that made all the difference. I was a mail order disciple. Prabhupada wasn't there, but he initiated me by a letter. And, you know, he put the beads in the mail. But it was nice because instead of just handing the dakshina in after the ceremony, I got to write Prabhupada a letter, which is a great opportunity, mailing in my dakshina to sending it off to London. That was a wonderful opportunity to write Prabhupada a letter. So I must have said something about wanting to spread the movement because I was with Vishnu John Maharaj and he was really into spreading the movement. That was all he talked about. He was a living manifestation of wanting to flood Krishna consciousness in all four directions at every minute. So I must have said something, and I don't remember exactly what I wrote Prabhupada. But Prabhupada really, really picked up on some little spark of devotion that I expressed to him. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I really felt unlimitedly blessed by those words from Prabhupada. And I've always hung on to them. No matter what happens, I have to always be enthusiastic. Things may be going great, or there could be, you know, devastating things happening. Sometimes devastating things have happened in our movement. But it didn't matter. Because Prabhupada ordered me, you know, continue enthusiastically as you are doing, you see. It's like in the Bible, that, what is it? The 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So one has to learn how to feel the presence of God, how He is blessing, how Guru and Krishna are blessing at every minute. One has to learn how to connect like that and take shelter of that connection. Prabhupada actually explains in one purport. It came up in a class that I gave one time in Estonia, in the morning class. It's a wonderful purport. He explains that the disciple should take the order of the spiritual master. This is very life and soul. He said he should always meditate on that instruction, those instructions. And then Prabhupada took it even a step further. He said he's always worshipped those instructions. So if you really wanted to know the secret of how to remain steady for all of eternity, Krishna consciousness, you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master whose every order can be worshipped within your heart at every minute as your very life and soul. By taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and taking his instructions as worshipable deities, actually, and holding on for dear life, just like a person falls off the edge of the cliff, he grabs a branch on the way down, how tightly will he hold on to that branch? Is he going to slack up on that grip? He's going to hold on to that branch for his life. Otherwise, he's dead, smashed in the rocks below. So, if you will take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, and you will take the instructions that he has given you as your very life and soul, and you will hold on to them for dear life, then I guarantee you, you'll never go away. You'll never fall down in Krishna consciousness. You have to always feel that you're vulnerable to fall down. That's an important thing. If I think, well, I'm so advanced now, I have nothing to worry about, you see. Then you can get loose and get slack, and immediately Maya will take advantage. Prabhupada told us in Boston, he said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So what is our position? So we have to always feel ourselves very meek and very humble and always very much in danger of being swept away by the material nature. And therefore we are constantly praying to Krishna and Guru to please protect us. We are constantly taking shelter of whatever instructions he received as our very life and soul. So in this way, with great humility, like a child crying out for the mother, like a child holding on to those instructions that my Guru has given me, that this is all I have. This is all I have. The orders I have received, this is all I have. I have to hold on to these no matter what. You see. If one holds on like that, then you'll make it. 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. Of course, we don't live that long nowadays. Supposed to live for 100 years. That's the normal. 100 years is considered a normal lifespan in this age. But it goes down as the age becomes. It gets to the point where if you get, you're 25, you'll be considered a grand old man or a grand old woman. So does that answer your question sufficiently? Yeah. Any other questions? Yes?
That was similar, what Prabhupada was saying in the translation to a letter that Jayananda Prabhu received.
Yes, that's right. There's a similarity there, that's right. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada concluded that if you had any tinge of desire to enjoy it, then you will go to the heavenly planet. But because you were hearing the kirtan when you left your body, therefore you've gone back to home, back to God. And that was Prabhupada's conclusion. Any other question? Yes.
So you mentioned that we have to serve the Vaishnavas. Yes.
Serve Vaishnavas?
We have to serve the Vaishnavas.
Yes.
You know, many times we face situations where, you know, in order to spread the movement, we have to organize big programs and, you know, go through, like, you know, elaborate arrangements. At the same time, if you have to, you know, like, serve the Vaishnavas and the devotee community, it takes up a lot of time and energy. With whatever limited purity we have, it becomes a bit difficult to balance. So what would be your advice?
You're saying, on the one hand, you want to serve the Vaishnavas. On the other hand, you want to make organize big programs. And how do you balance the two?
Yeah.
And do them at the same time. Serve the Vaishnavas by engaging them in preaching. That is the best service. Someone who can engage Vaishnavas in organizing big preaching programs, he is doing the best service to the Vaishnavas. Krishna says, there's no one more dear to me than the preacher. So, by engaging a Vaishnava in preaching activities, you're doing them the best service. And one, it is said that those who preach, they are most recognized. But those who can engage others in preaching, they're even more recognized by Krishna. Because they get the benefit of all the preaching that they're facilitating to all the devotees. So if you can serve the Vaishnavas by engaging them in Sankirtan activities, prasad distribution, festivals, you know, temple construction, whatever it may be, you're doing a great service to the Vaishnavas. So please, continue with this service. Increase it more and more. Any other questions? So everyone's satisfied now, ready to strive diligently for pure bhakti and for making the world Krishna conscious. Jai. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Grantharāj Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai.